Hey, you. How's it going? Yep, that's right. It's me. It's Anthony. You know, I'm just popping in because sometimes, I mean, I like talking to you. So sometimes I just want to check in and find out if you can relate to this at all. And it's, you know, how they always say you can't go home again. And you can always go home again. But sometimes you go home again and you wish you had not gone home again. And I'm not talking about a family reunion when you meet a bunch of people who are in your family and you haven't talked to them for a while and all you can remember is the good times. And then you hang out with them and all of a sudden you remember exactly why you didn't talk to them after all these years. Maybe it's an uncle who's a pain in the neck. And maybe it's your parents who are pains in the neck. Maybe it's your siblings who are pains in the neck. Sometimes it's the people that you love and they're kind of like medicine, right? They're good for you in short spurts. They're good for you in small doses, but you can overdose on those people, right? Your friends and maybe your spouse, they're like a healthy meal, right? The more of them, the better. The more you're with your good friends who treat you well, the better. The more you're with a great spouse, the better. If you have good, great kids, the more you're with them, the better. That's the thing. And like I said, sometimes some people are like medicine, small doses. And I know you know those people. You go home, you meet them, you hang out with them, you hang out with them at Thanksgiving dinner. Everything's great at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, but right around 9:30, all the passive-aggressive stuff starts to pop out, right? All the things they used to do when they were younger, and you thought that maybe they outgrew those traits, but they did not outgrow those traits. They start to pop up again. You're looking at the person, and you're going, you're 62 years old, you're 43 years old, you're 30 years old, you're 27 years old. You still have the same annoying habits you had when you were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What's going on? Sometimes you go home and you can go home again. And sometimes you go home again and you say to yourself, oh no, not again. But of course, Christmas comes around and Thanksgiving comes around and the wedding comes around and the birth comes around and you do it again. And you know you will. But this is something a little bit different. I went back to my old neighborhood to visit somebody and I saw something that kind of bummed me out a little bit. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people can relate to this. I'm pretty sure you can relate to this too. There was a guy I knew back in the day when I was younger. And we were the kind of guys, him and I and a few other people, who kind of stayed out of trouble, right? You go to school, you go to work. And for me, work was, you know, telling jokes to drunk people around the country as a stand-up comedian and all of that crap. But you know what I'm saying? You do your thing, right? And you have talks with these people. Maybe it's a casual talk at a lunch truck, or maybe you see them on the way back from the supermarket, or maybe you see them in the supermarket. You live in the same neighborhood, so you run into each other. And you know they've never been to your house, you've never been to their house, but you know their name, they know your name, and you know each other well enough that if you run into each other, you always stop, at least for a short while, to have a little bit of a conversation. Maybe you update each other about some cool things that happened in your life. Nothing too personal, but more than you tell a stranger, right? And you get a good feeling about this guy or gal, whoever you're talking to. And you know he's kind of cool. You don't have to have your guard up around him because you know they're like you. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to steal anything. They're not trying to set you up. Any of that crap. I leave. And some time goes by before I go back to my hometown, definitely my old neighborhood. And I happen to be driving through my old neighborhood. I see a store that I used to go to and I'm curious. I'm wondering if the same people are working in that store, and if they are working in that store, do they remember me? And if they do remember me, are we going to be able to have a cool, fun conversation like we used to when I would frequent the store? I walk in, and yes, it's the same people, right? Some time has passed. I'm a little older. They're a little older, but we all still look pretty good for our age. And I walked in, and the guy behind the counter who makes the sandwiches, who now owns the store, by the way, looks at me and goes, "Hey! Yes, man, hey, you back or something, man? Are you back?" And I went, "Well, I'm just kind of swinging through, wanted to pop in to see if you guys were here and say hi. Hey, man, you going to get a sandwich, man?" I said, "You know what? Yeah, I will get a sandwich. I know what you want, man. You want?" And he rattles off my order from a long time ago, almost perfectly. I have now updated the sandwich, so I want sweet peppers on it. "Oh, you want sweet peppers now? Oh, Mr. Fancy," you know, that kind of thing. Right? "Hey," he yells through the speaker, and somebody in the back, "Who? Who's back? S? What?" So the guy comes running up, hey, hey, oh, and you know, it's like Norm from Cheers, because I was really nice to these folk who in the store. We were pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. And then the little boy used to run around the store bumping at everybody with a little snotty nose. He comes running out, Mr. Ass, oh, man. I said, good, man, gee, you're taller than me now. How old are you? And he told me his age. I'm this. And I'm like, oh, man, goodness gracious, man. You got a little mustache going. That kind of thing, right? So I ordered the sandwich. He makes it slowly because you know, he's trying to drag out the conversation. But he didn't have to do that. I wasn't rushing out of there. I was going to finish. I wanted to see everybody shake some hands, you know, hug the people, hug some of the wives, high-five the kids that were babies that are now almost either teenagers or almost teenagers now and all that kind of crap. It's fantastic. It was going home. It was a pleasant experience. And I walked out of the store with my sandwich that he didn't charge me for and a soda that he didn't charge me for. And I said, since you ain't charged me for something, let me get a cupcake too. I was just joking. He wasn't. He gave me the cupcake. I said, no, I was just joking. No, man, next time you pay. Not this time, though, okay? I go, okay. And I walk out. I put the stuff in the car. I'm driving closer to my friend's house. I turn the corner and I see a friendly face walking down the street. I'm going to surprise this guy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till he passes me. Then I'm going to honk my horn and he's going to, oh no. It was the guy I was telling you about that I had the pleasant conversations with. The guy who, like me, was kind of a teetotaler, you know, just kind of kept out of trouble, didn't want to be in any kind of trouble, kept away from the drugs and all of that stuff. That's what he was back then, but that is not what I'm seeing now. See, if you see anybody who's really drugged out, there comes a point where they're so destroyed by the drugs that there's no talking to them. It's almost to the point where they have to hit rock bottom and they're going to need professional help and there's really nothing you can do about it. Now, I remember back in the day, like I said, this guy was bragging about how I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to stay off this. I'm going to stay off that. And I felt the same way, but I didn't feel the need to tell anybody. I was just going to do it. And I've done it. I've never touched an illegal substance in my life. And I'm in show business. I've been in the room with it and got the hell out of there quickly. I've had people do that stuff right. I've seen some things. And it got to the point where people started to get, who around me got mad because I didn't want to take part. I said, look, we good, we cool. I'd like doing shows and stuff like that and all that kind of crap. But that stuff right there, I'm never doing it. And it's going to be, I said, I don't, peer pressure means nothing to me. So I'm telling you right now, don't even try to apply peer pressure because the only thing you're going to do is annoy me and we'll never work together. What you do is your business. Long, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I just not my thing. And after a while, people realize S ain't going to do this. In fact, sometimes it got to the point where they were like, they knew I wasn't going to do it, so they didn't want me around. I wasn't judging them. I just let them know I'm not doing it. So they would do that crap before I got there or after I left. They kept it away from me. After a while, I didn't even see it after a while. I knew they were still doing it, but they knew I wasn't interested in it, so they kept it away from me. Fine. I don't care. So I look across and I see this guy. He doesn't see me yet, and he's not in good shape. And I knew him well enough to know that he would be embarrassed if I saw him in that shape. I knew it. So I'm just about to get back. I'm in my car. I'm about to start the car, but I don't want to draw attention to myself. And then I'm looking peripherally, and he sees me. But he doesn't know that I had already seen him. So he didn't want to just go running down the street because that would have been too obvious. He didn't really have any place to hide, right? And I was like, oh, how am I going to get out of here without embarrassing this dude? He obviously doesn't want me to see him like this, and I don't want to see him like this. And that conversation would be horrendous, right? You ever run across somebody? Here's something else. I'll give you this. Before I moved to Los Angeles, I was doing stand-up comedy. I was thought of easily one of the best comics in my home area. And this is the truth. But I wanted to stockpile money, and to me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a regular gig. I got a regular job, you know, and I wanted to do something that I could just make some quick cash. So I started working at a car wash. Now, I was doing fine in comedy, but I really wanted to just stockpile money. So to me, I didn't really think it was much of a sacrifice. You go to get a job, right? I was doing okay, but I wanted to stockpile some money. So I go to get a job. I'm still doing my comedy on the weekends. And that's what I was doing. But I was, and I was washing cars. And there's nothing wrong with washing cars. A job is a job, right? But someone who thought of me as really, really a special comic brought his car in. And I saw him. Oh. And there was no way to get around it. Oh. And he saw me. It was the same thing. I saw him, and I was like, I said to the manager, I tried to explain to him. There was no way I could explain to the car wash manager that I didn't want to wash this car. They weren't going to try to hear that crap. They don't care about that crap. I knew better. This guy was not exactly the most compassionate guy in the world, so I had to go out and wash the guy's car. So the guy sees me, and I'm wearing the car wash uniform, and at first he just sees my face, and he brightens up. Hey, one of the best comics in the... But once again, there's nothing wrong with working in a car wash. I've worked in car washes. I've worked in factories back in the day. There's nothing wrong with it. But I knew what his perception would be. And I also knew when he went back to my hometown, the first thing he would do was say he saw me where he saw me. And once again, there's nothing wrong with it. But by the time he got finished with the story, it was going to be something wrong with it in his perception. So I'm wiping, I'm washing his tires, and he's looking at me. And he has this look on his face as if he's pitying me. There's no reason to pity me. He's looking at me. Hey, man. Yeah, you know. Soon as you hear the sing-song, it was, hey, buddy. Yeah. He started to ask about comedy, but he just assumed that I had fallen on hard times. And I'm thinking, there's nothing wrong with the job. It's a job. It's a service job. Would you think less of me if you saw me in a factory? Would you think less of me if you saw me in an office? And I realized, yeah, he would. He absolutely would. He could walk in and see me. I could be the person coming in to do arthroscopic surgery on him. And he would still look at me like, oh. You're a medical doctor, huh? A specialist. Oh, yeah, buddy. You keep doing that surgery thing, okay? Yeah. He would have still looked down on me no matter what job I did because of what my skills on stage were and his perception of why are you doing anything but comedy. I had a reason. And I thought about explaining it to him, but I knew everything that came out of my mouth at that point would sound like a lie, even though I was telling the truth. And he peeled off. And I was sitting there going, it's going to take him 40 minutes to get back to, in fact, it's not even going to take him that long because he's going to be on his cell phone. Guess who I saw? Right? Fortunately for me, nobody believed him. They thought he was a schmuck for saying that stuff. And they asked me about it. And I said, yeah. They said, but you got gigs. I said, yeah, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, I mean, I could go to open mic now, but I'm trying to go to L.A., man. I got to stockpile this money. They're like, oh, that makes sense, shoot. Because a lot of them had done the same things. A lot of them had done something like that. This particular guy came from a, you know, kind of a well-to-do family, you know. So it wasn't exactly like it was, a, you know, he ever knew what it was like to struggle for money. But the other comics knew. So it wasn't that big of a deal. In fact, we're like, oh, that's a smart move. I might do that, some of them said. So, yes, he did go back and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I saw S doing this. But as it turns out, nobody thought less of it. I didn't think they would. Even if they did, who cares? Back to this guy. So he sees me. And he doesn't know that I see him. And I remember how I felt. Even though in my particular case, there was nothing wrong with what I was doing. And in this case, I can't say, I mean, there's something wrong with him being strung out on drugs and anything like that. But sometimes those things are circumstances beyond your control. And it's a bad decision. But once they get it, once drugs get a hold of you, or once alcohol gets a hold of you, once these things get a hold of you, it's beyond your control. You need professional help. There was a part of me that wanted to go over there and say, hey, man, what's going on? But I know how he would have felt it. I was just working at a car wash. He was on drugs looking disheveled. I would assume that as bad as I felt, he would probably feel 10 times worse. So I made the decision in some ways for him and in some ways for me not to say anything to him. What I did was I made myself get out of the car and I got some stuff out of the trunk in a slow way and I never looked in that direction. I wanted to give him the option. I wanted to make it his choice. If he said, hey, S, and he yelled across the street to get my attention, then I would go and talk with him. right? And I even looked at Jenna's general direction and looked around as if I was trying to find something. I gave him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make the choice. And he kind of hid his face and turned around and hid behind this and moved this way and kind of very slowly eased down the street. And I looked as he got to the street. I saw as he got close to the corner, he very quickly and briskly walked around the corner to get away. In a way, I was glad to go home because when I went to that store, I met some really cool people that I liked from back in the day. And it made me go, yeah, man, you can go home again. But when I saw this guy, oh, and I saw the shape he was in, ooh, and I had an idea of how he would feel running into me, which is why I gave him the option of making the decision. And I let him have that. He left. And then I went on with my day. Would you have done the same thing? I mean, would you have made it a point to go over there and talk to him? You know? And I wasn't afraid to talk to him. If he had called my name, I would have went over and had a conversation with him, talked to him just like anything else. But I saw from my peripheral vision, I saw his body language. And I didn't want to embarrass this guy. You know, I would have wished that my manager at the time at that car wash with that me trying to stockpile some bread for my trip to L.A. to I would have loved if the manager said, you know what, two guys can do that car instead of three. You stay here and I'm going to let that guy. It would have been nice had he done that, but he didn't even think about how I felt. It wasn't his problem. He didn't care. But I did care how that guy felt. He was already feeling bad enough. I didn't want to add shame to it. I didn't want him having a whole day. Oh, man, I can't believe he saw me like this, man. Or have him thinking like I thought that he's going to just go and tell everybody, which I wouldn't do. I'm talking to you, but you don't know the guy. I'm talking about the situation. So that's the thing, man. Sometimes you're in a situation where you go, man, yeah, you can go home again. You can go home again. And it's great. Sometimes you go home again and you're thinking, man, I really wish I hadn't gone home. I wish I had stayed in that store another 5 or 10 minutes. Then I wouldn't have run across that cat. Right? Or maybe if I hadn't got that cup of coffee on the way back down to Philadelphia or New Jersey and going through New Jersey and through Philadelphia to go to my own hometown. If I'd taken another route, if I'd gone someplace else in another way, or I changed the order, or if I decided to go cut through Philadelphia or cut through New Jersey and went another way, I would have never run into him. And he wouldn't have had that moment of almost feeling ashamed because he saw me. And I wouldn't have this kind of sad feeling of seeing the state that this cat is in. It was kind of hard to find out how he was doing. I was trying to find out how he was doing from other people in a way that didn't let me, where I wasn't trying to, you know, give his secret away. I would ask about people who I didn't really give a crap what was going on. You know, hey, how's this guy doing? How's that lady doing? Hey, what about this guy? You know, and as it turns out, yeah, he started hanging around the same people he wanted to avoid. And they browbeat him and, you know, gave him the old peer pressure and, hey, try some of this. And he wanted to fit in and he tried some of that. And then when he started to fall off a little bit, the same people that wanted him to try some of that were even further down the road than him. He's not as far down as they are, but if his family, who is trying to help him, can't get a hold of him and grab him before he slides off the cliff, he's going to be just like the people he was trying to avoid. When I went back home, like I said, at the store, I was glad to be there. When I saw that cat, not so glad. But then I found that his family is literally trying their best to help the cat. They hadn't abandoned him. I felt a little better because they're pretty good people. And hopefully they can take care of business. So obviously that guy is definitely not listening to this podcast. But I do hope he's doing better now. It's been a little while since this happened. Hope he's on the right track. Sometimes you can go home again, and it's great. Sometimes it absolutely sucks. Hopefully, if you ever go home and visit your family, visit your friends, you'll have a better time. And hopefully, it'll be more like the first part of my trip, you know, and not the second part. You dig? Cool. All right, my friends, this is my poppin'. This is poppin' number 5. You can go home again sometimes, and sometimes, you know what I mean? And hopefully, you can do that yourself. Now, do me a favor, my friends. Since you're listening, you've been listening to this podcast for years, you've been listening to this whole episode. If you like this episode, do me a favor. Tell people about this episode. Tell people about the show. You know, spread the word about the podcast, okay? Do me that favor. If you're not subscribed, please do. And if you see me sending links around online, if you follow me on other social media, on my social media, I go by my name, S. Anthony Thomas. If you're on social media, follow, look for me up, or just Google my name, S. Anthony Thomas, and follow all the crap that I'm doing. Okay. Much love to you, my friend, and I will see you again next time. Take care.